In the United Kingdom, we are hearing a great deal about government plans for the future. A five-year plan for immigration, a five-year plan for health, and so on. In a democracy where the government is elected for a maximum term of 5 years, these plans do appear to be somewhat ambitious. Five-year plans, however, are nothing new to the socialist ideology. Almost from its inception until its demise, the Soviet Union embarked on five-year plans for just about every sector of the Soviet economy or Soviet society. In view of the fact that the Soviet Union was, in reality, a one-party state, it followed that those who actually framed the five-year plans would probably be there to see it through to its conclusion. Even if those planners happened to fall from grace, other party members would be there to take their place, and the five-year plan would be followed slavishly until it actually came to its conclusion date. But, and this is a tremendous caveat, no one knows what tomorrow will bring. Can we look to the future and say with any certainty that this will happen or that that will take place? I don't think so. Following the Indian Ocean tsunami, some people are beginning to realise that terra firma is not quite as firm as it is thought to be, and it does contain a number of terrors. The mechanics of tectonic plate movement are something of a mystery even to the world's leading volcanologists and geologists. However, there is a known link between tectonic plate movement and volcanic eruptions and earthquakes. And now many scientists will admit that we're living in very strange and uncertain times. Some names have become well known to us as a result of historical fact and recent memory. Krakatoa seems to be stirring. Mount St. Helens is doing something. Mount Spur, which is 80 miles from Anchorage in Alaska, is causing concern. Along with another mountain, I hope I get this right, it's Venia Minov, which is also in the Aleutian Islands in Alaska. The Pacific Ring of Fire appears to be a great deal less peaceful than its name would actually imply. Then, of course, there is Yellowstone National Park, under which there is a caldera, or supervolcano, and that also appears to be doing something. One end of the lake in Yellowstone Park has actually risen by, I believe it is, 13 feet. And water being what it does tend to be dictated by gravity where it actually gets to. So, you know, something's happening. All of this information is available on the internet and on various television documentary programs and in the news or in magazine articles. Oh, and I did forget to mention that Yellowstone National Park is believed to be somewhat overdue for a major eruption. So, what am I trying to do here is to point out that in addition to the political, social and economic problems that are emerging around the world, there are a number of literal natural booby traps which can turn the world upside down virtually overnight. December the 26th, 2004 saw the world fall apart for a huge section of the world's population, as their livelihoods, their possessions, and the economic infrastructure was literally washed away. And to them, the word tsunami took on a whole new meaning. So today, what I want to do is to encourage us to plan ahead, but at the same time, to make those plans flexible, because we live in very strange and uncertain times. I do have a number of points to cover, and to emphasise flexibility, I'll let you know how many points I have at the end. That's just in case of any unforeseen eventuality. So, point number one, is it wrong to plan for the future? And to answer this, we will turn to Proverbs chapter 6 and read verses 6 to 8. I'm not sure who it was who said, unless you know where you're going, you will finish up someplace else. But these words do imply that planning is necessary, be it for a journey between geographical locations A and B, or whether it's between dates on a calendar. We do have to set definite goals. There's no point in just trying to drift through life and hoping that everything will turn out right. So Proverbs chapter 6 and verses 6 to 8 read as follows. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer or ruler, provides her meat in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. Here we are told that even nature itself prepares for the future. And so ought we. We should be doing our part to provide for ourselves insofar as we are able, and that does take planning. And point number two, we do need to be flexible. And here we will turn on just a few pages to Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1. This is a similar thought to that which is found in James chapter 4 verses 13 to 15. And both Solomon and James were inspired to instruct us that despite the care we take in our planning, we have neither a crystal ball to look into the future, nor do we have second sight to know with any certainty what the future holds. So Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1 reads thus: boast not yourself of tomorrow, for you know not what a day may bring forth. To just hammer home this point just a little more forcefully, we need to move forward just a few more pages to Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 11, which emphasizes the fact that the future cannot be set in concrete by mere mortals. There are far too many unknowns, too many uncertainties. We are too unskilled at reading the signs of the times. And Ecclesiastes 9 verse 11 reads as follows: I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favour to men of skill, but time and chance happens to them all. For a man knows not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in a snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time, when it falls suddenly upon them. Things can happen virtually without warning, and we need to realise that when we make our plans. And point number three, we only have an outline of the future. And we'll turn back a few pages to Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1 to just take this point in. Throughout the pages of Scripture, we are directed to a basic plan, a history of the creation of man through the entire completion of 6,000 years that have been allocated to man's system of government and the uncivilization that he has forced upon himself. That history is littered with milestones and benchmarks that have been recorded already. They are also the events of the future, which we must also watch for, and importantly, recognize their significance. And as we read here in Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven. So there is a time scale set out, but we, humans, do not necessarily know what that purpose is. Well, we know what the purpose is, but we do not necessarily know the sequence in which things are going to happen or how they will actually pan out. We have seen it's not wrong to plan for the future. We have seen that we need to be flexible in our planning. And we've also seen that we've only been given an outline of the future. From these three points, we have deduced that we do not have an exact timetable of the events to befall the world. For my final scripture, I'd like to turn forward into the New Testament to Matthew chapter 24 and read verses 42 to 44. Here Christ emphasizes that we just do not know how the events that have been prophesied will actually come in a time scale. We do know that certain events will take place, and we do know that we should be watching for them and planning for them, but the actual timing has not yet become clear. However, as I said, we must be planning for it. So Matthew 24 verses 42 to 44 reads as follows: Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be you also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man comes. We know that this is going to come about. We know that the Son of Man is going to return to this earth. It may be very soon. It may not be quite as soon as we think, but we know it's going to come. We should be planning for this event. Our plans should be flexible. And as time progresses, the milestones and benchmarks will become much, much more distinct. So our somewhat vague idea of the future will become more and more clear as time progresses. So, as I say, we need to make plans, we need to be flexible, and we need to realise that we're not yet being given a completely detailed picture. And we must not become slaves to any of our plans, be they 5-year plans, be they 2-minute plans. We've got to be flexible, and we've got to plan, and we've got to realise that the picture we have at the moment is not quite crystal clear just yet.